as were men rebuilding a wall. The builder had on his sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. So he had trumpeters whose job was to sound different notifications. Trumpets beside them. When I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated from far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, and Elohim will fight for us. So we labored on our work, and half the men held spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. So he had trumpeters ready to sound alarms just in case they were needed, because there were those who opposed this rebuilding of all the walls and opposed the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And they had been harassed previously, which is why they had men holding spears and trumpets, men keeping watch. Any question or comment so far? Anyone? Okay. Let's turn to Amos 2. This is often read on this day, but we're going to do a brief reading from here all the same. Take it from the top. Amos 2. Take it from the top. For three transgressions of Moab, and for four, and I will not turn away its punishment, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. But I will send fire upon Moab, and it shall defile the palace of Kerioth. Moab will die with tumult, with shouting, and with trumpet sound. I will cut off the judge from its midst. And I will slay the princes with him, says Yahweh. Verse 3, for thus says Yahweh, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they had despised the law of Yahweh, and not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. He goes on by judgments on Israel, not just Judah, but on the rest of Israel. And these soundments of judgment, there are calls for alarm, and there are calls for judgment. Reading this passage, I'm not entirely certain that this is this trumpet sound is of men. Let's back up a little bit to Joel 2. Let's do a brief reading there. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. People come, great and strong, the like of whom is never seen, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for them, for many successive generations. And it goes on about a fire devouring behind them, or before them. The land of, verse 3, the land of, is like the Garden of Eden before them, behind them, it's a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape them. So this alarm, in this case, is sound the warning, an alarm of an army marching across the land. And it goes off to lots of other detail about the destruction they cause. and descriptions of this army. It's descriptions of this force. How fierce this army is. It's followed by a call to repentance. Verse 12. Now therefore, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to Yahweh your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him and a grain offering and a drink offering for Yahweh your Elohim. I think we can all think of a story or two where Yahweh has relented from a judgment, has he not? Take, for instance, the story where Yahweh relents on the judgment against Nineveh, Assyria. He had prophesied its destruction through Jonah the prophet. But what did people of Assyria do? What did these Assyrians, of all people, think about it, these Assyrians, what did they do? Ah, you're full of hot air. You're just another would-be prophet. No, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. They did exactly what we read of here in Joel. They turned with sackcloth, ashes, their full heart. And that was their attitude. They summed up their attitude very nicely here in verse 14. Who knows if he will turn and relent? Blow the trumpet. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Look at all the different trumpets being sounded here. There's a call to a sacred assembly. That was one purpose there. We're reading of another one here. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Remember how the one call was for the call of the heads of all the divisions of Israel? One just for calling of the elders, one for the congregation as a whole. Gather the children and nursing babies, call for them, call for everybody. A bride from her dressing room, let the priests who minister to Yahweh weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, Yahweh, and do not give heritage to your reproach, that the nation shall rule over them. Why should they say amongst the peoples, where is their Elohim, where is their mighty one? So we don't, in this passage here, we don't read this pabulum of people blowing unfamiliar sounds. Look at a different purpose just in here, in this passage we just read. There are different, when it says blow the trumpet in Zion, they're not blowing just one trumpet or not blowing just one tune. They're blowing more than one. One for the congregation, one for the elders. And it's called a special assembly. So there's three right there, just in that one passage. Anyone think of another use for a trumpet? Trumpet might be sounding. How about the heralding of a new king? We got a couple of examples in the books of Kings. Turn to 1 Kings 34. Find one example there. First Kings 34. No, did I write something wrong down? I sure did. First Kings 1, verse 34. I'm looking at it wrong. I'm sorry. My mistake. First Kings 1, verse 34. This is where David proclaimed Solomon as the new king, as he's getting old in his age. And we're going to pick it up in mid-thought here. Verse 34, this is part of David's instructions. Therefore, let Zadok the priest Nathan the prophet, anoint him over king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. We have a new king. We have another example in 2 Kings chapter 9. Second Kings chapter 9. Let's pick it up. Verse 13. This is where King Jehu is anointed king of Israel. Verse 12, and they said, Elijah, tell us now. So he said, thus to a place he spoke to me, saying, thus says Yahweh, I have anointed you king over Israel. And each man hastened to take up his garment and put it over the top of his steps. And they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So this was following the death of King Ahab in battle, and right in between the death of Ahab in battle and the death of Queen Jezebel. And for a season, he was off to a good start. But that didn't last long. He went the way of so many of the other kings of Israel. But we've got two examples of heralding a new king. Or is there just two? What about Joshua's return? Because we're going to see some of these purposes all come together as we read Revelation. Some of these are going to be calls for alarm. Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Now, I have to be honest about this half an hour. I don't know if it's literal or figurative. I'll say that. I don't know if it is. But what we do know about this time is that half an hour is in time, in fact, shorter than an hour, which is shorter than a day, which is shorter than a week, which is shorter than a month, which is shorter than a year. So both literally or symbolically, remember how all these other time periods are also have symbolic meanings as well, or given symbolism? Well, this is a very short period. Whether it's literal or symbolic, it's a very brief period of time.